prophet says, abide by truth, will not enter paradise. Prophet says, abide by truth, will not enter paradise.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni channel, there are many blessings of reciting Durood e Pak upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Indeed, Aka sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has stated that on the day of judgment, there will be no shade except for the shade of the throne of the Arsh of Allah Azza wa Jal. And three people, three very fortunate individuals will be in the shade of the Arsh of Allah Azza wa Jal on that day. Who are those three? The first, who relieves a distress of my ummati. The second, the one who revives my sunnah. And the third, the one who recites Durood e Pak upon me in abundance in this world. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni channel, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, in this silsila, we try to work towards a Madani mindset of recognizing the great and grave dangers of backbiting and how serious this sin is and how it can destroy our lives, our peace and our tranquility. Let me share with you a beautiful Hadith Mubarakah. It is a blessed narration from the master of all the prophets, the best of creation, the mercy to the universe, the beloved of Allah Azza wa Jal, the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, that whoever sits in his home and does not backbite against any other Muslim, Allah Azza wa Jal will be the guarantor for his entry into paradise. Subhanallah. And then in another beautiful hadith mubarakah, a beautiful companion, Sayyidina Abu Sa'id Khudri radiyallahu ta'ala anhu relates that Aka sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, whoever performs salah properly, his household is large, has more members, but the provision is limited, and does not backbite, he and I will be in Jannah, in paradise, like this. And then Aka sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam displayed their blessed index finger and middle finger together in this manner. Subhanallah. Look at how blessed those are who guard themselves against this grave sin of backbiting. And look at how the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, give them the glad tidings of being with the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Jannah. Subhanallah. Now, to guard oneself against backbiting, it is very important that we recognize and we understand this sin. And one of the ways that Amir al-Sunnah Damud Barakatum al-Aliyah teaches us to be on the guard against backbiting, and one of the ways that we are taught to recognize the signs, is through examples. So, Amir al-Sunnah Damud Barakatum al-Aliyah writes that a brother in Bab al-Madinah, he met with a friend. And the friend, as they were talking, and it's often today's kind of a society that we're in, that we have to talk about a third person. So off goes the friend and starts to talk. And what he says is this. He says, my sister is very short-tempered. She easily gets annoyed. And if she gets upset with somebody, then she will not greet them or give them salam, and she will avoid them. And then she's had a fight with my sister-in-law, and now they're not talking to each other. And during the same conversation, he says, but now, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, my sister was watching Madani channel at home. There was a beautiful Madani muzakara on where Amir al-Sunnah Damat Barakatum al-Aliyah gave the Madani mindset that backbiting was a grave sin, one we should avoid, and that made her repent, and alhamdulillah she's now apologized and made up for her past mistakes. Now, bazahir, this story seems to be a good one. But when one starts to analyze the statements that this brother made, one can recognize the dangers that we can fall into in normal conversation. So let's start by analyzing it. Let's start by looking at what exactly was said. First of all, he said, my sister is short-tempered and gets easily annoyed. Now, there is the first statement of backbiting. Straight away, he has said things which may be true or are true in this sense, because we're talking about backbiting, we're not talking about slandering and buhtan. So it might be a true statement, which is the definition of ghibat, which we've done previously. But why is he saying it? Does Sharia give him permission to do that, or is he just saying it for the sake of saying it? So the Amir al-Sunnah Damat Barakatum al-Aliyah writes in Ghibat Kitabakariya, backbiting a cancer in our society, look, there is the first sign and the first act of backbiting. Because if his sister found out that he was saying this behind her back, she wouldn't be pleased. If you talk about something and say somebody and they say they are short-tempered and they easily get annoyed, obviously you will upset them. So that's the first. Then, the whole conversation is centered around belittling his sister. So she wouldn't be pleased by that. Then, the second and third acts of backbiting. It's obvious that it's reference to the fact that she becomes upset at people to the extent that she does not give them salam. Again, a fault which is highlighted and is backbiting. She does not meet them. Another fault and backbiting. And then, she had a confrontation with my sister-in-law and now she stopped talking to her or they're not talking. Again, an act of backbiting. So a conversation that was relayed or a set of circumstances that were relayed which appeared on the face of it to be quite simple were riddled with acts of backbiting. And the shaitan then deceives us into thinking that we're not saying anything wrong. And what the scholars write in Amir al-Sunnah Damat Barakatum al-Aliyah writes here clearly is this, that if you are talking generally, or if the person cannot be identified, say for example, the person in this narration, his family wasn't known to the others, he had many sisters for example, and they didn't know which one, then it is a general talk, and it is allowed because you're not identifying the person. But if they knew him, if you're within family members and you're talking about your sister and they know who you're talking about, then it is written that that becomes backbiting. So as soon as the person is identifiable, it moves on to backbiting. So you can generally have a conversation that there is an Islamic sister who easily is short-tempered, who easily gets annoyed and upset with people to the extent that she does this. But alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, through the barakat of Madani channel and the Madani muzakras of Amir al-Sunnah, she developed the Madani mindset to save herself from this problem. Beautiful. But what the shaitan does here is, in your eagerness to express your enthusiasm of Madani muzakras and to express your inclination towards watching them and to help people to bring them out of the darkness of other channels and to learn the knowledge of deen and the goodness of the fact that she's repented, hidden in all of that, what the shaitan has done is subconsciously made you commit ghibat four times. And you could have done the same thing and given the same madani mindset and the tarqib to the brother you were talking to or the brothers you were talking to without backbiting. By generalizing, but then emphasizing the fact that Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, the sister that, the anonymous sister that you were mentioning, Alhamdulillah repented because of the barakat of Madni channel. And this is how the correct way of doing it is. And here the scholars write that this is what the shaitan does. He gives us a virtuous intention, but then leads us astray by disguising what we're doing, which is in fact ghibat, as what we think in our mind. Oh, it's okay, we can say that. But what we do is we go along with this character assassination of the person. So this person is this, he does this, he did this, or he was an alcoholic, he was a druggie, whatever. And then at the end we say, Alhamdulillah, now he's repented. But what you have done is highlighted that person's faults in front of others, committed ghibat. So just by at the end saying that he has now repented and putting a caveat on it doesn't change the fact that what you have done is wrong. And this is where the scholars say that we need to be on our guard. We need to be on our guard. Talking generally about somebody. So when Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam wished to do islah of any of the brilliant Sahaba ikram, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't single that person out in front of everybody. But Aqa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talked generally that people should not do this, this and this. Whereas what we do is we identify the individual, then we disgrace and dishonor them in front of other people. And then at the end, to give satisfaction to our heart and to please our nafs, we say, oh, but by the way, he's now repented and he's fine. Why have you relayed the faults and the defects of some brother who's repented now in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and you're accepting he's repented? What gives you the right to put all his mistakes and his failings in front of others and belittle him? And that's where the problem is. And when we're relaying these, the nafs and the shaitan in the background are happy. Why? Because what we're doing is in the false kind of environment of trying to pretend that we are saying something nice about this person. He's repented now. He's a nice person now. But I'll highlight his faults to others. And my dear Islamic brothers, that is ghibat. And that is haram. And that is wrong. This is why the scholars write that, Ya Allah, with your mercy, grant me the wisdom so that I can protect myself from this heinous crime of backbiting, which you dislike. And I can safeguard my tongue from backbiting and excessive talking. Aqa sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said, no companion should come to me with a talk about the other. I want to come to you with a clean heart. Allahu Akbar. This beautiful hadith mubarakah mentioned in Sunan Abi Dawud Sharif. And the grand master of hadith, Shaykh al-Hadith, Abdul Haq Muhaddith Dehlvi Rahmatullah Alayhi says, while elaborating on this hadith mubarakah, no companion should come to me with talk of the other. He says, neither should we talk about their shortcomings, nor their wrong actions, nor their bad habits, nor should we say that he or she did this or said such and such, and backbite them in this way. Explaining the other part, I want to come to you with a clean heart. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan alayhi rahmatur Rahman says that Aqa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us that when I come to you, I have no malice, no hate for anybody. That is the essence of this part of the hadith. And what Mufti Sahib then says is this, that obviously Aqa sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is the purest and the best, and there is not even an inkling, and we can't even think that Aqa sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam's heart would in any way be impure. This is teachings for us. This is teachings for the Muslims. Aqa sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is teaching us that when somebody backbites in front of another person, you are diluting the heart of the person who is listening. against that other person, so that the heart becomes unclean and becomes polarized and negative about that person. We know that the heart of the fountain of mercy, the guiding light of the entire creation of Allah Azza wa Jal, is free from impurities and no malice or hatred can have any room there. We know that Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in these words was teaching us that by backbiting about somebody, the person you are talking to, you are darkening their heart about that person. And then that person may take action because the respect and honor he had for the person you have just told him bad things about decreases. And that is wrong. That is haram. And that is what destroys the very fabric of your relationships. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni Channel, in this narration, we get a glimpse of the depth of love that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam had for his slaves. In that Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam wanted to protect us from even the most minutest darkness in our hearts. Aqa sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam had such love for his slaves that Aqa sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam wanted us to develop perfect characteristics and perfect manners, and wanted us to sacrifice ourselves for others, wanted us to be the guardians of the honor and respect of Muslims. And Aqa sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam wanted us to flourish in a society where there was no backbiting. In this hadith of Mubarakah, there are many lessons. And one of the greatest is this, that there is no justification in these circumstances where there is no shari permission. There is no justification for you to fulfill the desires of your nafs and listen to the whispers of the shaitan and reveal weaknesses and shortcomings of others and indulge in backbiting just to satisfy your nafs and your desires. There is no justification for a student to speak ill of their teacher. There is no justification for a teacher to speak ill of the student. Son should not say anything which can be remotely associated with ghibat about his parents. And vice versa, the parents should be on their guard to protect their tongue from doing ghibat of their children. Employees should be on their guard. And a murshid, a murid, and a peer, they should be on the guard as well. Nobody is exempt from these rules. They apply to everybody. And so this major sin creeps in without us even realizing. And the only way we can protect ourselves, my dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Monday Channel, is by being constantly on the guard for it. By recognizing the forms that it comes in, by recognizing the dangers that it poses. We have very intelligent people who are able to comprehend and understand complex theories, complex problems. And yet when it comes to Islamic rules and what is haram and halal, we tend to give up easily. No, we are under an obligation to understand what ghibat is. We are under an obligation to try and look out for it in all situations. And we are duty bound to protect ourselves from it. And whoever, if somebody is encouraging this, or if somebody we know practices this and won't stop, then we have to stay away from that person, that group, and that society. Because constant backbiting is something which can sever iman, the most pride possession we have. And our learned scholars have said that if you want to die in the state of iman, one of the fundamental things you must do is protect yourself from backbiting. Think good of others. Do not look for opportunities to humiliate or degrade others. Aqa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam taught us to be pleased with the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal. Not to be jealous. If Allah Azza wa Jal has granted somebody a ni'mat, a gift, a blessing, why are you jealous of it? Because that jealousy will breed hatred in your heart. It will bring out malice. And then when that person is mentioned, automatically off goes your tongue without you knowing it. And you will try and find everything you can to say about this person which is bad. You will look for faults in this person. And it all starts from the sin of jealousy, which has now led you to the doors of the fire of hell, because you were jealous, and then you are backbiting, and then you are slandering, and then it moves on from there and lying, and suddenly you are destroying not the person you are backbiting about, but you are destroying yourself. And that is the important thing that we need to appreciate. One of the things about this disease of backbiting, the scholars write, it is a just disease. Why? Because it starts by killing you first. It starts by destroying your peace, your tranquility. It starts by destroying your life and bringing darkness to your life, your grave and your hereafter. And then it affects others. Why do we give up the hard-earned peace and tranquility that we gain? Why do we give up the hard work, the toil, and all the good deeds that we've earned? Why do we give up all these goods just to satisfy the nafs and to backbite about others? My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni Channel, we look for the mistakes and we look for the faults, the defects in others. But the real person that we should have been looking for defects and faults and mistakes in was sat right here. Was our own selves. We needed to have husn zan in relation to other people. We needed to have a good opinion in relation to others. So even if we heard something, because we had no proof, we should have assumed the best. That person is not like that. I'm assuming the best in my mind about him. But when it came to ourselves, we needed to assume the worst. Is this disease in me? Am I doing this? But yet, what we do is instead of giving the other person the benefit of the doubt, we make them a criminal. And when it comes to ourselves, knowing what we know, we still give ourselves the benefit of the doubt. And we expect others to give us the benefit of the doubt. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni Channel, it's time to think about our thought processes. Is that a Madni thought process where you are thinking bad about others, looking for the opportunity to slander them, to disrespect them, to dishonor them, to backbite about them? But when it comes to yourself, full of faults, we give ourselves the benefits of the doubt. And we ignore our own mistakes, and we look for the faults of others. Allahu Akbar. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni Channel, in life, we will come across people without doubt. We will come across people who do the wrong thing. It happens. But that does not give us the right to go out and speak to others wrongly about them, to highlight their defects, to talk badly about them. Allah and His beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam will not be pleased by this. Allah and His beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam have expressly prohibited this, have told you not to do it, have told you that these are the waswasas of the shaitan. There is no justification for it. And they've highlighted, the Islamic laws clearly highlights that there are limited circumstances in which you are allowed to disclose somebody's defects. And majority of the time when we set about doing that, those Islamic principles don't apply. And we are simply doing it to satisfy our desires, to belittle and dishonor the other person. Or sometimes in a fit of anger, in rage, or in retaliation. And this way, we fall into backbiting. And it's very simple. sometimes we're sat there on a trigger. And as soon as this fitnebaz, this person who is the instigator of this, he will come and say, and he will come to you and say, he was saying this about you. But whatever you say, he's going to take back to him as well. Because this person is the one who causes this. Muhabbatun ke chor, chughal khor, these are the tale tellers who cause all this animosity amongst people. So as soon as he's telling you, you should be on your guard against this person. You should be thinking, I don't want to believe this person. He's coming to me telling me the other person's saying this, or he's backbiting about somebody else. He is going to do the same behind my back as well. You know, once Shaykh Sayyidina Imam Muhammad bin Shahab Zuhuri Rahmatullah Alayhi was sitting close to the king, Sulaiman bin Abdul Malik. He sat close to the king and a man comes in and he addresses the king. And the king addresses him in an annoyed manner and says to him, I found out that you have said such and such a thing against me. So this man is in absolute shock. He's in the court of the king. And the king is accusing him of saying things against him. He's in deep trouble. So the man replies, no, I've not said anything like that. But the king wasn't having any of it. He insisted. He said, you've told, the person who's told me, has told me that you've said these things. And that person is truthful. I believe him. So you must have said this. The man is in difficulty. He's scared. He's in fear. He's in the court of the king and the king is accusing him of backbiting. The king is accusing him of a heinous crime and is relying upon the testimony of a third person. Hazrat Imam Zuhuri Rahmatullah Alayhi was there. He intervenes and says to the king, tell me, have you thought about this? That the person who has told you cannot be a truthful person, because the one who has told you is a tale teller. And a tale teller can never be a truthful person. Upon this, the king regained his composure. And he thought, what a beautiful word that is. That the person who's come and told me, why has he told me? Why was he trying to tell me all of this? Was he trying to please me? He is a tale teller. He was trying to create animosity between us. And he has succeeded in it. Because look, I have accused this man in front of the whole courtyard of backbiting me. And yet, what am I relying upon? I'm relying upon a person who's a tale teller. He replied to the Shaykh. He said, Shaykh, you have made a statement which is definitely true. He then turned to the person he had accused and he said, return with peace. And he let him go. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni channel, gosh, can we develop that Madni mindset. Whenever somebody in front of us is doing a ghibat of a third person, straight away we try to stop him if we can, or we move away from him. But we realize that this person is dangerous. Because he is a tale teller. What gives him the right in Shariat under Islamic law to disclose other people's faults in front of you? And if he's disclosing other people's faults in front of you, and he's backbiting them, then what does he do when he gets to their court? When he gets in front of them? The chances are, he does exactly the same. But there he's not going to backbite them. There, he's their friend. And he'll be talking about you and me. And this is why we need to be on guard for these people. What they often say is this, I am very close to you. I am your friend. Don't tell anybody. But this is what he was saying about you. And then we to protect the honor of this person, even in a gathering, we say, you said this about me. But I'm not going to tell you who said it, because I promised the person I would never do it. The person you have promised was a tale teller. He was the fitnebaz. He was the instigator of all of this animosity and hatred, and probably untruthful about it. And you are now protecting that person and are relying upon his statement. You are now accusing somebody when you've got no evidence. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni channel, it's time to think. It's time to think about these people who go about filling people's ears about their superiors, about their nigrams, about their brothers, about their sisters. And never think that this person is your friend. He can't be. If he was your friend, why would he come to you and tell you that your brother said this about you? Even if it had happened, if he was your friend and your brother had said something bad about you, he should still never have told you. Because he would know that it would take brothers apart. It wouldn't bring you together. So why is he telling you? Because he's not your friend. He is your enemy in the guise of a friend. And this is where we have to recognize that the backbiter is never our friend. He may pretend to be nice and humble and sincere, but he is the enemy in the guise of a friend. He is trying to deceive you. He is telling you things about other people. And he will do that and move on to the next person, the next person, and the next person. And what these people do is they create hatred in the hearts of people. And this is why the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said to us, no companion should come to me with a talk about the other. And I want to come to you with a clean heart. Now, if nobody talks about our brother to us, we meet our brother with a clean heart. We meet him happy. But once somebody dilutes our heart with this poison and this hatred and this backbiting, and then I said, don't mention my name. Next time we see that brother, we don't give him the honor and respect and dignity he deserves. Why? Because in our mind we think, oh, this person's like this because Fulan told me. Fulan could have been lying. Fulan was backbiting. But based upon his backbiting and his lying and his slandering, we have now thought bad of this person. That's where Islamic society starts to suffer. Brothers go separate ways and don't talk to each other for years. Sisters don't talk to each other for years. Parents don't talk to children and children don't talk to parents. And when you sit them down and you talk to them, actually what has caused it is ghibat. Ghibat, backbiting. This was the fundamental catalyst that the fitnabaz person came and he dropped into the solution and boof. There you go. Now, 10 years have gone by and I haven't spoken to my brother. 15 years have gone by and I haven't spoken to my sister. And where did it start from? Instead of bringing people together by telling them good things, ghibat was done, and from there, a whole house was destroyed. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni Channel, there are lessons that we need to learn from what we have suffered. And the irony is, you know, we learn time and time again the fitna and the upset and the animosity and the difficulties and the problems that backbiting creates. And once we are burned, for a few weeks we're very conscious of it. But then gradually shaitan makes us drop our guard and we get back into it. And then again, time and time again, we burn our fingers. Because we backbite, we lose all our good deeds, we spoil our peace and tranquility, we spoil the Madani environment in our homes, in our mosques, in our place of work, and everybody is polarized and alienated simply because the shaitan has given us this habit of backbiting and we try to satisfy this desire and we don't recognize. So, you know, actually people ask, I can't see what the problem is. Why am I upset when I can't see any problems? The reason we're upset is that we don't protect our tongue from ghibat. And when you don't protect your tongue from backbiting, then it destroys the peace and tranquility of your mind and your soul and your heart. So there may not be a physical problem that you're worried about. But even then, when you think, I'm upset, Why am I down? Why am I not feeling the enthusiasm? What's wrong with me? One of the problems is that you have been engaging in backbiting. And that has destroyed the nur of your heart. The light of your heart. And that's where the problem is. Like I said, this disease is a just one. For it starts first to kill the backbiter before it goes to anybody else. And that's what we have to recognize. So when we're backbiting, the person we're backbiting about is the secondary victim. You yourselves are the first victim. I am the first victim if I indulge in this heinous crime. And that's where the difficulty is. Never believe what a backbiter tells you. That person is not worthy of your trust. A backbiter is a sinful person. And in Islamic jurisprudence and in Islamic law, do you know a backbiter is called a fasik? And his testimony is not considered reliable in Islamic law. That's how bad that person is. A man once approached Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz radiallahu ta'ala, and said something against another person. Immediately, the great Amir al-Mu'mineen warned him, "If you would prefer, I could research what you have said and told me, and if I found you to be untruthful, then you stand a chance of being categorized in accordance with the ayat of the Quran in Surah Hujurat, verse 6, translation from Kanzul Iman. If any disobedient comes to you, make a strict inquiry. On the other hand, if you're found to be truthful, you could still be considered in violation of the ayat of the Quran from Surah Qalam, verse 11. One who taunts a lot going around with slander. And if you prefer, I may forgive you." Upon hearing this from the great Amir al-Mu'mineen, the person replied, "O leader of the faithful, please forgive me. I will refrain from backbiting forever." Allahu Akbar. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni Channel, look at the mindset of the great Amir al-Mu'mineen. He said, whichever way you go, whether it's truthful or untruthful, it's backbiting. And you will be falling in violation of the ayats of the Quran. And you will be deserving of punishment. And it was enough to give admonition to that person, for him to repent. Once a man approached a very wise sage, and he said some negative things about one of the wise man's friends. This wise man turned to him and he said, "Sadly, you have come to me with three evils." He said, "Hazrat, which are they?" He said, "First, you have caused me to dislike my fellow Islamic brother." Now let's think about that very carefully. Because when we backbite, what are we trying to do? We are trying to build hatred in the mind and the heart of the person we're talking to, of this other person. Fellow Muslim. Second, the great wise man, he said, "Because of your talk, you have caused me to ponder and worry about another person's character." And that is the second evil that you've brought to me. So the first, you made me dislike him. Now I'm thinking, how bad really is he? And the third, you have tarnished the truthful character of your brother. You've considered him really bad. You've opened up his secrets. You've opened up his faults and his mistakes in front of me without any shari permission. Three evils. Next time you hear or see or desire to relay other people's faults, think of those three things. You are going to cause the dislike of this person in the other person's heart. Then you are going to put his character in issue, his honor, his dignity in issue, and you are tarnishing his character by backbiting. This is how serious this crime is. Our elders in our religion used to advise that safeguard yourselves from the enemies of intellect and the thieves of love. And when asked, who are the thieves of love? They would say that the thieves of this world steal your worldly possessions. But the ones who backbite and tell tales, they steal the love and respect from amongst the Muslims. They steal the honor and dignity of a Muslim. They steal the very fabric of Islamic society from you. And they leave you barren and cold. And that's what we get in Islamic society today. Nobody cares about other people. And one of the fundamental causes is this ghibat, this backbiting that we constantly engage in. And through it, we cause mental anguish, anxiety, and agony, not only for those around us, but for ourselves as well. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni Channel, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, in the Madni environment of Dawat Islami, the Madni mindset is given to protect yourself constantly from this crime of backbiting. There was a non-Muslim in Bab al-Madina, Karachi, and he, Alhamdulillah, was watching Madni Channel and developed the Madni mindset to accept Islam, subhanallah. He came to Faisan Medina, he accepted Islam, he attended Dawat Islami Sunnah, the inspired Ijtama, and then traveled on the Madni Kafla. And within a few weeks, his life had changed. From being a non-Muslim, he came into the fold of Islam. He traveled to the Ijtama and then onto a 12-day Madni Kafla. And then, within a month of this, upon return home, unfortunately, he died in a car accident. But look how fortunate he was. Look at how fortunate he was that he comes into the fold of Islam and Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen attends the Sunnah-inspired Ijtama of Dawat Islami and attends and participates in a Madni Kafla of Dawat Islami, learning the Sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And in this way, he came to a beautiful end. Alhamdulillah, the beautiful environment of Dawat-e-Islami helps us in our fight against the shaitan. It helps us develop the Madani mindset. And let me remind you that in accordance with the hadith mubarakah related by the great Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says, Ummul Mu'mineen, she says that when Allah Azza wa Jal wills good for a person, then 1 year before his death, Allah Azza wa Jal designates an angel to him to keep retracking him towards the right path until he dies in the state of Iman. And then upon his death, people say, so and so died in a good state. Such fortunate people are pious people whose soul is taken quickly and they want to meet their Lord. And the Lord wants to meet them. Allah Azza wa Jal wants to meet them. But when a bad person, his time of death comes, a year before, Allah Azza wa Jal appoints a shaitan with him. And the shaitan keeps him deceived and makes him die in the worst state. And when death approaches him, the soul gets stuck and it's torn from his body. And at the time, neither does the dying person want to meet Allah Azza wa Jal, nor does Allah Azza wa Jal want to meet him. Allahu Akbar. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni Channel, by protecting ourselves from backbiting, inshallah Azza wa Jal, we can be in that first category of people where a year before we're about to depart, by the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal, by the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, by the blessings of His beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, an angel comes and keeps us on the straight and narrow so that we die in the state of Iman. Ameen. Bijahin Nabil Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Prophet says, a backbiter will not enter paradise. Prophet says, a backbiter will not enter paradise.